Hello, and welcome to the boohoo.com PLC trading update call. Throughout the call, all participants will be in a listen-only mode, and afterwards, there will be a question and answer session. Just to remind you, this conference call is being recorded. Today, I'm pleased to present Neil Catto. Please begin your meeting.
Thank you, Sarah. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining our trading update conference call. Today, we're going to be talking about the four-month period that ended on 31st of December 2017, and that covers the entire peak trading period. On the call this morning, I'm joined by Mahmud Kamani and Carol Kane, our joint CEOs. I'm going to take you briefly through our trading performance for the period before opening up the call for any questions you might have for Mahmud, Carol, or myself. Once again, it's been a phenomenal period of trading for the group, and we've been really pleased with the results that I'm going to take you through. Our total sales for the four-month period were 230 million pounds, and that was 100% year-on-year increase, or 93% on a constant currency basis. We're particularly pleased that the performance was strong across all of the brands, and as a group, that amounts to a significant gain in market share. As we've seen in previous periods, the multi-brand strategy is really working and enabling us to disrupt the market more effectively than we ever have done before. Boohoo, as a brand, generated sales of 143 million pounds in the period, up 25% year-on-year. That was an excellent result against very strong comparatives in the prior year period, when sales grew 55%. Boohoo brand sales for the four-month period were double what they were in the same period 2 years ago, and that represents a 40% CAGR over the 2-year period. That performance was consistent throughout the period, although, as has been the case for several years now, we saw exceptional demand over the Black Friday weekend, and that was true for all of the brands in all geographies. This year, as has been the trend in the last couple of years, the Black Friday discounting period began earlier, and we took full advantage of that. Our investments in our technology platforms have paid off, with no downtime whatsoever. Our planning in the distribution center in Burnley meant that we were able to handle the record volumes and meet our customers' expectations throughout the peak period with no capacity constraints. PrettyLittleThing's progress has continued unabated, and it's generated sales of 73.8 million pounds, up 191% on its sales for the same period of last year when it wasn't part of the group. PrettyLittleThing has been ranked as the fastest-growing fashion brand on the web, and that has really come through in the results. Its innovative marketing campaigns and collaborations are really resonating with its customers in the U.K., and it's now also making good progress overseas. At the same time, Nasty Gal has continued to make great progress in its first year as an own brand website. Its sales have consistently increased quarter-on-quarter and month-on-month, and revenues for the four-month period were just under 12 million pounds, and that was ahead of our expectations. We've opened two new Nasty Gal offices, one in L.A. and one in Manchester, in the last 6 months. By geography, we've seen strong growth in all regions, and that was triple-digit growth in the U.K., Europe, and the USA. The rest of the world region also saw strong growth, with sales up 59% year-on-year, which was a really robust performance against strong comparatives in the prior year period. Gross margins for the group were 52.5%, and that was down 60 basis points year-on-year. Boohoo's gross profit margin was 50.7%, down 240 basis points on the prior year. 50 basis points of that decrease was due to increased third-party or wholesale sales. Boohoo's retail gross profit margin was a healthy 52.5% in what was an aggressively promotional market. It was down 190 basis points on last year due to investments in the customer proposition that we've made in the last 12 months. PrettyLittleThing's gross profit margin was 55.3%, and its retail gross profit margin was 57%. That was a great performance as it experienced a strong sell-through of its autumn and winter stocks. PLT's gross margin was actually higher in the second 4 months of the financial year following the first 6 months. In terms of notable operational progress, Boohoo's foreign language sites were replatformed onto Demandware midway through the period, and we've seen significant uplifts in performance and conversion rates since. As far as distribution capacity is concerned, the new warehouse in Burnley is complete ahead of schedule, and we're in the process of fitting out the new building and installing the automation on site. So we will have double the operational capacity with automation by the end of our next financial year, ending in February 2019. We're also progressing well with the plans for the next U.K. site, although there isn't anything I can give you as an update at this point. In terms of guidance for this financial year, after an exceptional peak period, we are upgrading our guidance again. We now expect group sales growth to be around 90%. As far as EBITDA is concerned, we're narrowing the range, and we expect the adjusted EBITDA margin to be in the range of between 9.25% and 9.75%. So that's an upgrade to our previous guidance of 8% sales growth and EBITDA margin between 9% and 10%. So all in all, we're really pleased with the results and the progress that we've made in the last 4 months. So now I'd like to hand the call back to the operator for any questions you'd like to ask. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do wish to ask an audio question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now. If you wish to withdraw your question, you may do so by pressing 02 to cancel. There will be a brief pause while any questions are being registered. And our first question comes from the line of François Hocquenry from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Yes, good morning, Neil, Carol, and Mahmoud. I guess two or three questions for me. The first one is on the active growth. There's no mention of either a growth or an absolute number in the actives in the release this year. So I was wondering if you could provide us with more detail on this. Obviously, I would expect, given the marketing initiatives, your launch in Germany, etc., that the growth in active would have exceeded your revenue growth. But if you could confirm this and give a bit more color, it would be very useful. And to the extent you're happy to do this, if you could also give some indication of how that's evolved in the UK, it would be very useful. That's question number one. Question number two is also on the UK, or let's say specifically on the UK and on the Boohoo brand. You know, can you tell us what has happened there and how the business has performed? Last year, obviously, you had a great quarter when it comes to US and Australia, so tough comps to beat there, but I was just trying to understand how the momentum went in the UK. And the last question is on PLT's KPIs. You know, it's one of the things you're very happy with. I just wanted to check whether you're still seeing some good trends on the KPIs there.
Okay, thanks, Francois. So on active customers, what we've decided to do is not unveil the active customer numbers in the quarterly updates, but we will give those out every half year. And we felt that as Nasty Gal doesn't have a full year yet, I think that's appropriate. And we don't want to get too obsessed with that. But what I can say is that we've seen good levels of active customer growth for all of the brands. And your point about that would be, you'd expect that to be ahead of sales growth. I think normally what we see is that the active customer growth lags the sales growth, and we get an increase in spend per customer as well. And we've seen that across all of the brands, which is good to see. So we've got healthy customer engagement for all of the brands, Pretty Little Thing, Boohoo, and Nasty Gal. But we're not going to give any specific numbers out for that on a quarterly basis. But suffice to say, spend per customer and active customers are growing well. UK for Boohoo was actually a resilient performance, a very good performance we were happy with. We don't break out the geographical performance by brand, but we knew we had big comps in the UK, US and Australia for Boohoo, and we were very pleased with the performance against those, and the momentum has obviously been maintained. So it was a good performance, very promotional market, but we found that over Black Friday the promotional period was extended by being earlier, and then outside of that not as promotional as we've seen at other times. And then PLT's KPIs, again, we're not breaking out those KPIs every single quarter, but you can imagine from the sales growth, they've had great growth in active customers, spend per customer, and so they're all moving in the right direction. Conversion rate's good, so the brand is resonating and the KPIs are reflecting that.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of John Stevenson from Peel Hunt. Please go ahead, John. Your line is now open.
Thanks. Morning, all. Just a couple of questions, please. First one, just on the guidance. If my math is right, it looks like you're looking for 30% growth for Q4, which seems, or the last 2 months at least, which seems a little bit conservative. I don't know if you can maybe comment on that. And secondly, just in terms of the trading stance, I mean, you touched on the sort of the promotional nature of the market around Black Friday. Can you talk a little bit more about the whole period in terms of sort of, you know, price investment versus delivery promo, how that's differed from previous years and what your thoughts are for the year ahead, and maybe any read-through for margins for the year ahead too?
Okay. So firstly, on the guidance for Q4, 30% growth, there's obviously a few moving parts in there that PLT's comparatives come into play for the first time for those 2 months. But yes, we always want to be conservative with the guidance, and that is the case as it has been for recent periods, and we want to be able to make those investments to keep the top-line growth going, and I think that's worked quite well so far this year. The trading patterns through the period, I've touched on that a little bit, but the Black Friday was huge again, so massive growth around that period, and then outside of the Black Friday period, it's quite consistent. I think that was true for all of the brands. So Black Friday's been starting earlier and earlier, and it was relatively early in the scheme of things as well, being a week before the end of the month, nearly. So on the promotional side, I think we look at that every day and every week, so it's hard to say exactly how that's going to pan out, and we like to think that we can react very quickly to make sure that we keep the momentum going. And it, you know, we'd always like to think that we don't want to over-promote, but I think it's very, very much been true in some markets that the customers have been looking for a deal. We've given them the deals, and so have the competition. I think very much over Black Friday, there was probably more promotion than in previous years. People doing bigger discounts and for longer a little bit, and more people joining in with Black Friday to a greater extent. So I think that was a pattern. You know, some of our smaller competitors were doing kind of 50% off site-wide for a good number of days. So that was what we had to contend with, and we were actually very pleased with the way the margin held up through that kind of promotional environment.
Morning, John. It's Carol here.
Morning, Carol.
Just to chip in with Neil there, I think it's important to note that although it's been a very promotional season for us, we've really coupled it well with a very strong fashion proposition, and really around that Black Friday and leading into the Christmas trading period, not only have we been promotional, but we've made a lot of investments and are going out and cocktail ranges and all that other stuff. So I think the strong trading period has been a result of, yes, it's been strongly promotional, but actually we've underpinned it with a really good fashion proposition. And I think it's those things together that have, you know, given us some clear headroom above some of our comps that are out there.
Okay, Brent, I mean, I wasn't going to let someone else touch on ranges, but I mean, you obviously launched premium ranges for a number of the brands this season. I mean, can you talk about how they performed?
Yeah, I can. As I just said, I think the investment we've certainly made in our party wear going out and premium collections this autumn season, this Christmas period season, has seen all brands do really well. I mean, we've got a premium collection within Boohoo. We also have a premium collection with Pretty Little Thing. And Nasty Gal, obviously, it's its first real season of designed in-house product. Also delivered a new collection, which was a premium sequin collection that is called Studio, with a much higher price point, which we've seen do very well. So I'd say that's something that's done really well and seen us, you know, against our competition, we've had a really good going out and evening wear collection.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Andrew Ross from Barclays. Please go ahead, Andrew. Your line is open.
Morning, all. Two from me, please, both on margins. The first one, I know it's... I know it's early to think about next year's margin at this point, but at this point, can you give us a sense as to how you're thinking about the EBITDA margin as we go into next year? And specifically, are you happy with consensus where it is? I think it's about a 9.6% margin. And then second question for this year, can you give us a sense of the margin by brand? Are you still thinking that Nasty Gal will be slightly loss-making and then the core Boohoo margin will be kind of flat up a bit, or has that changed? Thank you.
Hi, Andrew. Thanks for that. On margins for what was the first question? Margins
for next year and whether you have
next year. So yeah, we're not giving any guidance for next year at this point. So I think that implies that we're happy with where the consensus is. But we're actually looking at our plans as a company, obviously, and as we go into this new season and looking ahead to the season after that. Then in the next couple of months before we do the preliminary results announcement, we'll have a lot more colour on that. So there's not much more to say on that other than, you know, we are structurally a very profitable online company compared to anybody else. But we all, our big driving factor is to gain market share and with the multiple brand approach, and that's been working really well. In terms of margin by brand for this year, I think it's been similar situation to what we saw at the half year. So as a group, we've made a few investments in becoming a multi-brand group. So that's what you see in some of the overall margin. But we've also got Pretty Little Thing growing so rapidly, and their EBITDA margins are increasing. But obviously, they're spending a lot on marketing as a percentage of sales. Nasty Gal, we're investing in that, growing that brand overseas for Nasty Gal being outside of the US, and that's working well, so we'll continue to do that. But Nasty Gal's breaking even at the moment, but we may want to accelerate investments internationally for that brand. But it's showing really good progress in terms of both growth and profitability in the US. So we're continuing with that theme, and therefore that's why we're seeing what we're seeing in the consensus for next year is remaining unchanged.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Jaina Mistry from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hi guys. Three questions from me. First one. You've previously given guidance by brand for the full year. So you've raised this year's full year sales guidance to 90%. Can you give us more colour about your expectations of performance by brand?
Yeah. Do you want me to answer that? Yeah, I'll answer that before you give me the other question. So we thought it was better to keep it simple and give one figure for 90% growth, because obviously the different moving parts are there. But the flavour of it was exactly the same as we've seen before, where Boohoo's overachieving itself marginally, and Pretty Little Thing is continuing to smash the ball out of the park, and Nasty Gal as well has been overachieving. So you could work it back from what we've previously seen. So Boohoo's likely to be slightly above the guidance, Pretty Little Thing more significantly above it, and Nasty Gal a little bit above it as well. So that's the flavour of it, but we felt it was just much more simple and cleaner and more elegant to just say 90% group growth for the rest of the year, or for the year today,
okay,
by the end of the year.
My second question, I think growth momentum slowed for the Boohoo brand in period three, and gross margins for the Boohoo brand also fell quite significantly. Is it becoming more costly to grow the Boohoo brand, in your opinion?
No, I don't think that's the case. I mean, we were really pleased with the Boohoo results on the back of last year's growth when it was 55% as a brand. And the Boohoo brand is still as popular as it ever was. We're adding active customers all the time and they're spending more with us. So it's not so much that. I think in the period that we've just seen, there was definitely a very promotional environment. And I think that's coming through in most of the results. And I think for the Boohoo brand, the performance in the UK was extremely good and in a resilient way, and it's been very consistent growth in the UK. And then we've got a great opportunity internationally in our target markets and in more target markets in the future as well. So we don't think it's becoming more costly to grow the Boohoo brand. And as the brand gains popularity on a global scale, then momentum helps us.
Okay, great. My last question, you mentioned previously that you were going to start marketing in Germany. Can you give us some more colour around what you've done in the region and how it's performed?
So we don't really talk about individual markets too much, but suffice to say that we replatformed all of our foreign language sites onto Demandware. We've seen some good uplifts there, and so the main countries there is France and Germany, and we've seen great performances since we replatformed, much improved. So they feel like great opportunities. We've never mentioned Germany as a strategic market where we're deploying marketing dollars, but it's the most obvious place where we would employ marketing dollars. But we've invested quite a lot in the proposition in Germany in terms of we now offer free delivery, free returns, and that's given it quite a bit of momentum. So we'll look at potentially some marketing campaigns in Germany and see how it goes.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Matthew McEachran from N Plus One Singer. Please go ahead, Matthew. Your line is open.
Morning, guys. I've got a few sort of follow-up questions to some of the ones I've already been asked. Can I just start on the margin and just, well, first of all, congratulate on a great Pretty Little Thing margin performance. But just generally speaking, is there any reason why we shouldn't expect the Pretty Little Thing gross margin to kind of progressively converge with the Boohoo margin as the range broadens out and your kind of promotional stance changes?
So I think that's a reasonable expectation in a long-term situation. Pretty Little Thing had a really strong performance in the four-month period with very, very little markdown and had a very strong sell-through of all its autumn and winter products. So we saw a great performance there where the margin was up on the first half of the year. But to keep gaining market share as we are doing as a group of brands, we will do whatever it takes to compete. And at the moment, PLT has been able to maintain its margin, but there's no reason why it shouldn't invest in margin to gain market share in the future. And yes, that probably is a reasonable expectation. If we go back a few years, Boohoo had a higher gross profit margin around the same levels as PLT, if not higher, and we spent more on marketing. And then we've been investing in the proposition and price, and that's given us the ability to leverage our marketing costs more. So PLT may well experience a similar phenomenon. So it's probably a good way of thinking about it for the future.
Yeah, okay, that's helpful, thank you. And one for Carol, actually, I think I asked a similar question at the results. I mean, part of the margin dynamics within Boohoo reflects the launch of new, unestablished ranges and styles. Presumably those are going to do mature and scale up over time. But could you just give us a sense as to what the kind of differential is for a very, very low volume, unestablished style line compared to some of the more established areas?
What do you mean in terms of depth of buy?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, we always talk about our test and repeat model, which sits across all our brands. So even in our established areas of the business, we still maintain this test and repeat low initial quantities and then look for really high, good hit rates. and then, you know, go into volume when we go into repeat. So whether it's a new area within the business or an establishing that in the business, they're actually buying in quantities are still relatively quite shallow. Something like Nastigal, obviously they're even more shallow again because that's a new brand, and you know, the buying volumes are slightly smaller again. I'm sorry, I understand your question correctly. Is that what you were asking me?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Just in terms of the, you know, the margin. There's a lot of questions about the Boohoo margin. Sorry, excuse me, I've got a bit of a rough throat. You know, some of it I think is structural, and your push in, to improve the proposition and the pricing. Some of it I think is as a result of the continued expansion of the range and, you know, dilution from unestablished low volume buys. That's the kind of bit I'm just trying to understand.
Yeah, I don't think the margin is related to the low buys. I think that would be misleading to think like that.
Okay.
There's obviously new product areas in the business which you're testing all the time. Things like beauty and some areas, newer areas where we're not as established in, which do have a slightly lower buying margin. But actually, overall, there's not a great deal of difference between a new area in the business and an established area in the business in terms of buying in margin. There's very little difference between them. There are some areas in the business which are on long leads, which might be lower margin, lower buying in margin, but better achieved margin because we can trade them harder. But there's not a great deal of margin difference between a new area in the business and an established area in the business.
Okay, that's very clear. Thank you for that. Neil, just in terms of the data that you've now got, looking at the customer overlap between the three brands, I mean, is there a noticeable difference one way or the other in terms of average spend for customers that do buy across the brands? And is there a notable difference, i.e. lower average spend for those overlap customers or not?
There's not actually a massive difference, and when you roll it up into an average, the differences don't look quite significant. So and that kind of bears out our theory behind the multi-brand approach, is that we will, with different product ranges, different brands, images, be able to capture more of the share of the wallet of our customers. And I think that the data that we've got on the customer overlap bears that out.
Interesting.
And we are more than happy for people to shop on PLT and Boohoo and Nastigal, and that will be the end goal to grow all of those brands so that they're all in the minds of our customers.
Yeah, that's very helpful. Thanks. And then just one last wrap-up was on Nastigal. You talked about your successful launches in terms of the going out and party wear lines. I mean, would it be right that your total range number of lines is now approaching sort of 5,000? And you just need to get a view on how quickly the range and the number of lines is building up across the brand.
Which
Nastigal,
yeah.
It's getting up towards 5,000 at the moment, yeah.
That's great. Thank you very much indeed. Well done. Cheers.
Thank you.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Dan Homan from Citi. Please go ahead, Dan. Your line is open.
Morning, guys. Happy New Year. First question from me was just on the wholesale business. I'm sure you're not going to give me the growth in wholesale over the period, but could you just talk about what developments have happened in that business? Have you started using more partners? And particularly, it looks like Pretty Little Thing, there's been more participation in wholesale. Any colour on that would be appreciated. And then connected to that, does that wholesale part of the business mean that the capacity numbers that you talked about previously probably have a bit more headroom than we're looking at on the headline numbers?
Okay, thanks, Danny. I mean, wholesale's done well, as has the retail business in the period, and we're very much focused on quality platforms to sell the brands on, and that's really our rationale, and that's worked well. So we found that our partners are good places to sell fashion, and we'll keep selling them, and it helps us get the brands out to as many customers as possible. and the wholesale business grew, as you can tell from the numbers, grew slightly ahead of the retail business, but it's obviously an earlier stage business, and that's particularly true for PLT. But all of the brands are getting a good response on all of the platforms that we're on, so we're pleased with the performance. And in terms of the capacity, it does help, obviously, you know, if we're selling brands on other platforms and we're dealing with those in a wholesale model, then the goods don't need to be stored in our warehouse, so that helps to a certain extent. But obviously, you know, the reason why we're on those platforms is to gain exposure of the brand and gain new customers that come and shop on our website as well.
And could I just follow up on that? What proportion of your total ranges are available on partner websites?
So it's a small proportion. So I think the most products that we'd have on another website would be about 1,000 styles, and that compare. This is I'm talking Boohoo now, and that would compare to about 30,000 plus styles on our website, up to around 35,000 styles at the moment on Boohoo. So it's a small capsule of the range, but it's one that we want to represent the brand really well with, and hopefully that works.
That's great. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Simon Bowler from Exane. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hi, morning all. Just a quick question for myself, really, just on the operating cost base, just being a little bit greedy ahead of seeing it being reported. But are there any kind of particular changes you're expecting in the second half numbers versus what you guided to at interims? I think you spoke about marketing costs being a relatively similar proportion of sales coming through, and I don't know if there's been some inefficiencies within distribution to enable you to deliver the volumes that you have done across peak.
There's no material changes from what we guided to. I think there will be a little deleveraging on the distribution cost, but it's more around that we're trying to improve the services to particularly in international markets. So it's more around that rather than any inefficiencies.
Okay, that makes sense. And no big change from a marketing perspective implicitly then?
No. I think we've seen all the plans that we've executed over the last 4 months have been, were in our kind of minds at the time that we reported the half year results. And I can't see there being any major changes in the next couple of months.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, if you do have any questions or comments for the speakers, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now, or press 02 to cancel. And our next question comes from the line of Emily Wan from Redburn. Please go ahead, Emily, your line is open.
Hi there. Just a quick question going back to gross margin and the promotional environment and the customer investments. Can you talk a bit about the shape of those investments, so price investment versus price promotion and delivery promotion, and therefore going on from there, what that means for the contribution that you get from delivery receipts to your gross margin?
I'm not going to say too much about that. I mean, we're not breaking out too much around that. But what I would say is that the P3 gross margin was ahead of consensus. What we saw was a fact of life nowadays. Black Friday was a big factor in the promotional market, and a lot of the promotional spend for us came in that period. And actually, outside of that, we probably had less promotional activity than we'd expected. So the investment was very much in that area to gain market share against people that were discounting very heavily, and our levels were kind of normal for us. So that's probably all that I can say at the moment. We're not breaking out. We've used an effective combination of delivery promotions and product promotions, and we're always trying to refine that and optimise it and give our customers a great deal without giving away too much margin.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Once again, if you do have any questions, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now, and there will be a further brief pause whilst any questions are being registered. And our next question comes from the line of Shay Malik from RBC. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Hi, good morning all. I just had a follow-up question on the distribution cost line. You said that there would be slight deleveraging in H2, which surprises me a little bit because there was operating leverage in H1. So could you just follow up on that comment that you made? Why is it such a big swing?
Well, as I explained in the last couple of questions, that the main reason there would be around improving our service for international customers and paying a little bit more for faster services, and that's it really. So that would be and the deleverage is fairly marginal.
Okay, and is that in particular regions or across the board?
It's in our overseas markets.
Okay, great, thank you very much.
Thank you. And as there are no further questions, I will return the conference back to you, speakers.
Okay, well, thanks very much for joining, everybody. We're really pleased with the results for the last 4 months, and we'll look forward to updating you about next year's plans in April at our final results. Thank you.
This now concludes our conference call. Thank you all for attending. You may now disconnect your line.